man, they're fun. I like Megan more than Varney. But anyway, they're both really fun. I'm just kidding. I'm so thankful for our team, for our volunteers, for this team right here leaving the stage. It's the second week hearing the Kairos original, the song that was played, the very first song, and oh man, I love it. It's such a powerful song, I don't know, just as we bring into this year, it's like, man, he's doing amazing things. The enemy is going to crumble in God's wake, and we are believing that. And so, good stuff. I'm glad you guys are here. If you're joining us online, welcome. We're glad that you're here as well. I will encourage you, I know they did a little bit, make sure you're pulling out the Connect card that's in the seat back in front of you. You can use that to take notes. There's a little note section on that. We also have the notes available to you online. If you're here in-house and you want to do online notes, you can do that. You can grab those, and if you have the app, you can take notes there as well. It's all there for you. We'd love for you to follow along. Every week, we do put up scriptures for you to read with us. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can also pull out your Bible app if you want. I don't mind if you have your phone out and are following along and reading God's Word together with us. Now, last week, we kicked off the new year, and we started this new series in the study of 1 John, and we're going to be going through the book of 1 John over the next couple of weeks. But to kick it all off, we talked about beginnings and how, John talks about, man, in the beginning a lot, in the beginning was the Word, and this is in John, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. And he's talking about Jesus, and then in his letter, he talks about the beginnings, and he says, hey, remember the beginning, remember who Jesus was, what he did, what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced it. And then it's not just that we saw it, we heard it, and we experienced it. What we're called to do is we're called as Christ followers to go and declare the good news that we have found in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we started with. We're just remembering, being reminded of what God has done in our life and what he's still doing in our life. We also started the Bible plan. We had probably about, I think, close to 30 people join us on the Bible plan. So thank you guys for joining us there. We're going to be doing a Bible plan every week of this series. So if you're wanting to join the Bible plan, you can write Bible plan on a Connect card, on a Next Step card. We'll get you plugged into that. If you're already doing that with us, we'll send you out a new link this week for that. Now, I'm excited to jump into the second week of this series. I want to pray, and then we'll dive into God's Word. So pray with me. God, right now, we are thankful for this space. We're thankful to be here to worship in your presence in a safe space, God, for us, for our kids, for our families. God, I'm thankful that we're here and we're healthy. We're praying for those who may not be able to be here because of that, God. Maybe they're able to join us online. So thank you for allowing us to gather here together in your presence to hear your word. God, allow your word to speak. Allow your spirit to move. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're gonna jump into 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And we're gonna look at one of the themes. I told you last week there's some pretty major themes that John talks about and he repeats. And so we're gonna look at another one today. And it starts with 1 John 1, 4. And here's what he says. And I hinted towards this last week. He said, "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And so this is one of those themes that we see, that John talks to his readers, to his audience, and maybe it's a church or maybe it's multiple churches, and it's us today, and maybe John didn't know this, but he said, we're writing so that not just your joy may be complete, but that our joy. And so it's like this collective joy that John is writing about. And so he says, well, why do we write? Why do we share it? So that our joy can be complete. And in that, it's in the sharing about God's word, and it's challenging one another. It's correcting one another. It's encouraging one another. It's inspiring one another. It's even rebuking one another so that we can mature who we are becoming in Christ. And in that maturity, our joy will be complete. All of our joy. You see, the more of us that are collectively maturing who we're becoming in Christ, seeking him and living out his way, the more joy that we can have, but not just more joy for us. It's also the more joy that we have that we can then offer to others. So I'm writing so that your joy may be complete. And so he says that, and so he sets it up. This is what I'm hoping for, that your joy will be complete. Let me then share with you how. So we're going to jump over to 1 John chapter 2 and see how we can make our joy complete. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Here he goes. He says, "My little children," and he said, "I am writing you these things so that you may not sin." So, okay, I'm writing again so that you may not sin, because when you don't sin, your joy will be complete. Our joy will be complete. But he goes on, he says, "But if anyone does sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation, the atonement. He has covered, he has paid for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." So I'm writing to help you not sin. So I want you to know, like, this is going to help you not sin, but he encourages them and says, hey, but even if you do, guess what? We have hope in Jesus. I want to remind you that even if you sin, Jesus has covered, has atoned for, has paid for your sins. That's what he says to all believers. He says that when you sin, don't dwell in them. Don't live in them. Instead, dwell in, abide in, live in the one who has paid for them. And that's what he said. Hey, you are followers. And I want to remind you that you may sin, but your sins are already paid for. So don't let them control or define you. Don't let them shame you or cause you to doubt. Because in Jesus, guess what? You are victorious. And I think, you know, oftentimes we get down on ourselves. Right, we're like, I'm a Christian, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, man, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm generous, but I still fell into sin. And the enemy whispers, and he begins to cause us to doubt, and maybe other people start judging us, and they're being hypocritical, but man, John comes in and says, hey, it's okay, because Jesus is victorious over your sin. Recognize your sin, you know, turn away from your sin, and keep on living in him. Don't dwell on your sin. I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. And then John jumps into the house. And so I told you last week that I found 8 this is how statements that John shares with us through the book of 1 John. In chapter 2, there are 2 this is how statements. And here's the first one. He says, I'm writing you so you may not sin. Here's how. Verse John 2 continues on in verse 3 through verse 5. It says, this is how we are sure that we have come to know him. It's real simple, by keeping his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, well, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And that's a pretty, like, just right there, right? He's very, very blunt about that. Like, this is how you keep his commands. If you say you know him, but you don't keep his commands, you don't follow his word, you're a liar. That's kind of a hard, convicting truth that he shares with us. It goes back to what he says, I'm running so you may not sin. You don't want to sin. You want to live in truth, and you want to love God. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's laid out there for us. Keep his commands. And it is such a simple command to us, right? It's so accessible. I have it here. I have it here. I have it. I mean, for us in America, the word of God is more accessible than it ever has been. But it's also oftentimes overlooked and taken for granted. John says, this is how, right? You come to keep his commands. But oftentimes we don't. And so in 1 John 2, 5, he continues. He says, but whoever keeps his word, right? He says, whoever doesn't is a liar, the truth is not in. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. So John tells us, keep his word. And so today I want to kind of come at you a little bit. And in this moment, maybe ask you to be a little bit honest with yourself and with this congregation, even online. I'm going to ask you today, if this is the command, if we're called to keep his word, in order to keep his word, we got to be in his word. And so my question for you today is, how much time are you spending in his word? And this is a part of the church life where there's this accountability that comes in. So let's participate. Would you be willing to say, like, this is how much time I spend in the Word? My time typically in the Word is Sundays only. When anyone willing to say, like, Sundays only is what it is for me. Like, there's no judgment here. I'm glad you're here and you're getting the Word. Sundays only, if you're online. Yeah, oftentimes the only time I get the Word and I'm able to really focus on the Word is Sundays only. All right. What about, okay, maybe it's not just Sundays only. Maybe you get it on Sundays, but the rest of the way that you get it is social media, right? Like, you'll see someone share scripture and maybe you'll like it or you'll reshare it. Anyone, like, I get it on Sundays and a few times during the week. Anybody? Come on. Honesty time. There we go. Thank you. Online, too. Like, it's Sundays and in a few times. I see other people share. And anytime we get the Word, it's good. So it's not a bad thing, right? Okay, so what about my time in the Bible is maybe 3 to 5 days a week. Like, I'm in the Word 3 to 5 days a week. It's not every day, but I am in on Sundays and then a few other days throughout the week, 3 to 5 online. Share with us. Okay, cool. Look at that. That's awesome. All right, hands down. How many of you are willing to say that I am in God's Word every single day? Like, this is a true statement for me. I am in His Word. I am reading His Word. I'm either with my Bible. I am on the app. I love His Word, and I want to really just be in His Word all the time. Thank you for sharing. And the reality is this, right? And here's why I bring this up. Again, it's not to say, oh, look at how good I'm doing. This isn't a contest on who's in God's Word the most. You know, it's not about who can read God's Word or know God's Word. But here's the thing is you can't keep or live out what you don't know, what you don't study, and what you don't bring in. So in order to keep His commands and to live out His commands, you gotta be in His Word. And I just want you to know that Sunday is not enough. It's good. And it's great. It's not enough. And the reason why it's not enough is because the enemy is working every day to pull you away from God. And so you got to work every day to draw closer to His Word. You know, living it out, and I talked about that. We got to live it out. So we bring it in and we live it out. It's another key aspect. We talked about declaring it, and this is a part of it. We bring God's Word in, but we also got to declare it to those who don't know Jesus. And here's a statement for you. You could be in God's Word every single day. You could know God's Word front to back. You could know it in English, in Greek, in Hebrew, in every other language. But if you're not living it out, all that knowledge is for nothing. Because we're not called to just know His Word. We're called to live His Word. And it continues on, and it goes on in verse 5. And it says, this is how we know we are in Him. And I love this. It says, the one who remains in Him should do what? Should walk just as He walked. Man, he's talking about Jesus. And what we know and what we read and what we saw about Jesus is Jesus knew the Word, but that man lived the Word every single day of his life. It's not just about knowing it, it's about living it. And so what we do is we spend time in the Word and we keep His Word in our heart and in our mind, but we don't keep it to ourselves. We take what we've learned and we walk as Jesus walked, and we love as Jesus loved, and we forgive as Jesus forgave. So this is how our joy is complete. This is how we may not sin. And we keep His commands and we walk out His commands. This is the way. Keep His commands. Walk out His commands. Live out His commands. This is the way. Keep it. Walk it. Now John wrote so our joy may be complete. And he wrote to us and said, hey, you know, I'm writing so that you may not sin, because here's what we know, sin separates us, and in sin we can't walk the way if we're separated from the way. He wrote so that we would keep His commands, not deviate from them, not be tolerant of certain things that go against it, not to rationalize certain things. We're gonna read His commands, we're gonna keep His commands, we're gonna live out His commands, and we're gonna walk them out. Now, here's the thing. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that reading and knowing and obeying and walking out the commands of God, it's no easy task. Sometimes it's hard. Because there is sin and temptation all around us. There's world and there's culture that come against God's word and what it calls us to. It's hard. And being a Christ follower, it's not this overnight thing. You will have difficult days. You will have days where you are tested and you are tried, and you will have days, just days or moments where sin wins. But the reality is if you remain in him, as you go through the trials and through the testing of your faith and of your life, you're going to be refined. And as you are refined, you will mature who you are becoming in your faith. And that's the key to it, is never giving up, persevering, even though things aren't going your way. And the truth of the matter is this, as John is writing and even here in this room, each of us is in a different season or in a different maturity level in our faith. But regardless of your spiritual maturity, regardless of where you're at in your walk, whether you know this is you're new to this thing or you've been a Christian for 25, 30 years, your whole life, the key to continued maturity in Jesus takes place when we continue living out the way, even though things aren't always going our way. It's remaining in him, even when things aren't that great. And so John understood that people he was writing to, that they had different levels of maturity and different seasons of their faith. John knew the issues that the early church was facing, and he writes to them specifically in this letter. But the reality is those issues are issues that we still face today. And so he writes, honestly, to remind them that even though they're facing these things, even though they're going through these things, that Jesus is still victorious. And you know him, and you have access to him, and he wants to encourage us in that. And so then you get into 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. And he has this whole section where he talks about who he's writing to and why he's writing to them, and I love this. So follow along. He says, verse 12 of chapter 2, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have had victory over the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have had victory over the evil one. He says, I'm writing to you, and I have written to you because of these things. Now, there's a few things in there that you may be like, well, why is he writing to these specific people? Why is he using these four things? And so there's four phrases, four people that he wrote to, and it's the little children, right? He addresses little children, he addresses fathers, he addresses young men, and then he addresses children. And if we read this literally, we can say, okay, well, I guess John was talking to children and fathers and young men, but that's a bit exclusive, right? Like he's excluding a lot of people. What if I'm not a father? What if I'm not young? What if I'm a mother or a daughter or a woman? See, the reality is he's not doing it literally. And he talks about fathers knowing him from the beginning. Can only fathers be the ones that only know him from the beginning? Can only young men be the ones that have victory? Now see, what John is addressing here, the way he's addressing the churches and us, he's addressing them pertaining to their spiritual maturity. So let's look at each of these things and kind of unpack them a little bit. So when he says little children, and he says it a lot. And so right there in the beginning, he said, I'm writing to you little children because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. And so here's the reality. Whose sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name? Everybody, right? It's John's saying, hey, little children, you are all believers. And he uses this phrase a lot. You go to 1 John 2:1. He says, my little children, I'm writing to you so you may not sin. In verse 28, he says, so now little children remain in him. In chapter 3, verse 7, he says, little children, don't let anyone deceive you. In 3:18, he says, little children, we don't love just with word and speech. We love with action and truth. And he says in verse 4, you are from God, little children. And in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 21, he says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. And when he's addressing little children, He's addressing all believers. That includes you, that includes me, that includes the church that he was talking to. And so when you see that phrase in John right here, it's talking about all believers. But then a few lines down, he doesn't say little children. He just simply says children. And listen, when there's a change like that in the Bible, it's for a reason. There is a purpose. And so when he says children, and this is what he says, I have written to you children because you've come to know the Father. And who he's talking to right here is he's talking to those new believers who have come to faith, but they're still very immature. And they're still needing to be fed and fed from a bottle, and they're learning and they're weaning and they're gleaning from the fathers and the young men. And you see him address the children again in verse 18 of chapter 2, and he says, children, do not be swayed by false teaching. Because as new followers, as immature followers, it's very easy for a false teaching to come in and turn you away from the right way. And so when he's saying children, he's talking about new to faith, immature believers. Then he talks about young men. And he shares, you know, young men, you have had victory. You are conquerors. You are fighting. And what he's saying is that you young men in your faith, you have persevered. There has been sin, there has been temptation, there have been trials, but you have fought and you have victory over the evil one and over sin and temptation. You have persevered. You've moved on to being fed, to feeding yourself so that you can withstand. You're fighting and you're maturing. And then he addresses the fathers. And these are the ones who are mature in their faith. And they don't necessarily have to be older men, but they could be mature old men in their faith. And they've gone through the false teachings and they've withstood. And they've gone through sin and temptation and they've withstood. They know the truth. And they are not going to deviate from the truth. They're not going to be swayed by false teaching. But they still understand, as a mature believer, that they still have room to grow and mature as they are perfected in Jesus Christ. And so he has these four phrases on how he addresses them. Little children, young men, fathers, and children. And let me just make one thing clear right here, okay? He is using masculine phrases, but that doesn't mean it doesn't include mothers and young women. Can I get an amen on that, okay? This is who he's talking to, right? He's talking to all of us. You are not excluded from any of this. There's just some masculine phrasing in here. Man, I don't want to get into it. Anyway, so y'all know. So let's read it again with that knowledge in mind. Here we go. First John chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who was from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you had victory over the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who was from the beginning. And I love this last time. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have had victory over the evil one. And it's an awesome promise and a reminder for each of us. And there are some very key phrases in here that he wants to remind us of, no matter what season of spiritual maturity that we are in. He says, do you want your joy to be complete? Do you want to not sin? Do you want to remain in his word? And then John says, remember these things. Your sins are forgiven. You have a relationship with Jesus. Like, that is awesome. We have victory over the evil one, over sin and temptation. And we are strong when we remain in the word, and we have victory in that. And that's the reminder. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, he says, remain in him. Allow God's word to remain in you. Now, this phrase, remain in my translation, it's seen 12 times in chapter 2. I think John is really, really trying to stress and press upon all believers that no matter what's taking place, no matter what's going on around us in our world, in our culture today, in our own personal life, remain in him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, here's what it says. And I shared this one last week about the beginnings, but it says, what you have heard from the beginning, what must it do? It must remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then guess what? When this remains in you, what you know about Jesus, what you've experienced in Jesus in your life, when that remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. He goes on in verse 28. And he says, so now, and he uses this phrase, little children, and now you understand, okay, little children, he's talking to me. So now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so John says to us, he says, remain in his word and remain in him. This is the way. And this is, John says, if you want to have your joy complete, and you don't want to live in sin, remain in his word and remain in him. This is the way. Don't forget your salvation. Don't forget that your sins are forgiven. Don't forget that you have victory over the evil one. Don't forget that you have a relationship with God. You know Jesus, you are strong, and you are victorious. And that is something that each of us have to believe. Remain in him. He is your salvation. Remain in him, by whom your sins are forgiven. Remain in him, who gave you a relationship with him through Jesus. Remain in him, because you have victory over sin and death. Remain in him, whose strength, whose wisdom, and whose guidance can and will see you through the trials that you're facing today and the trials that you'll face tomorrow. Remain in him. John wrote in, and I'm echoing today to you so that we would remain in him. You know, 2020 came and went, and we were all like, all right, 2021, and we're 10 days in, and it's, right? We're like, what happened to you guys? I think I thought we had an agreement. We're going to be cool in 2021. And we're like, nah, let's just keep it going. It's been rough. It's been crazy. And there's just anger and hate. Our nation divided. Man, God's word being perverted. Hate and anger and slander and arguments are taking place. And people are trying to come against our beliefs as Christ followers. And there's so much more. There's still injustice. And that's stuff that's going on outside. And we're like, ah. But then we got our own stuff going on, right? I mean, we came into 2021 as my family, and we lost a family pet, like, right out the gate. And then another pet comes in, and something happened to him, and he was attacked, and he's injured. And it's like, really? Like, what is happening? And I got friends and that are having to make some very difficult decisions for them and for their family. And man, the enemy came into 2021 and he just started taking swings at us, right? I don't know if this is true for you. If not, praise the Lord for that, man. Be thankful in that. But for some of us, he's taking swings at us. He's trying to get us to cower and to fear and to not be bold and to not press on. And he's trying to shake us and rattle our faith. But I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be swayed by political division or divisiveness. I'm not going to be swayed by the watering down of the gospel or man, false teaching. I'm not going to be swayed by tolerating or rationalizing sin or financial hardships or anything else that's going on. I'm choosing today to remain in him no matter what comes my way. Because he is the way and he is the truth, and nothing can come against that. And so that's why John writes. And that's why I share, is to encourage you to remain in him and remain in his word so that our joy may be complete. And when we have that joy, and we can go out into this world and we can share it with a world and with the people that desperately need the hope that we have found and the joy that we have found in Jesus Christ. And that is our call today. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads and pray with me. God, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that no matter what, God, that you are there for us. in our moments of weakness or turning away, Jesus still died for us. And you still love us. God, and what John wrote is such a good reminder, because I think sometimes it's easy to forget when the weight of the world and the things in our life are crashing down around us. We can go to your word and remember these things, that we are forgiven, that we are victorious, that through your son, Jesus Christ, we can overcome the things that are currently taking place in our life. God, I pray today that the little children, all believers, young men, young women, fathers and mothers, and that today they are encouraged, that they would remain in you, remain in your word. Maybe today they would and challenge themselves and commit to keeping your word so that they can live out your word in their life. God, keep allowing them to go to your word for encouragement, to coming to your church for encouragement. God, allow us to help each other make our joy complete in you so that we can go and share that with others. God, I want to pray for those who, man, have come into the new year and they're dealing with hardships and difficulty, and maybe it's family issues or financial issues or having to make a big decision. God, right now I'm praying that they will be guided by your word and by your spirit, God, and that they can rest assured, God, that they are, man, living out and living for you. God, you will guide them and help them, and help them remain victorious in you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.